old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Greetings in the name of Jesus, of course, the name above every name, the name whereby we can be saved. This morning, what has spurred me on to this topic, or this subject, it's about the cross of Christ. I say the cross of Christ. We'll get to that then. But I went to a wedding here in my hometown here a couple weeks ago. And just being with the people that I was raised with, talking to them about Scripture, and just kind of stirred again afresh where they're at, and the deliverance, how I see, what I see, we're at as saints, and so that has kind of added fuel or fire to where I did a little more reading, a little more searching, and so that's what has motivated me, I guess, for this topic. Excuse me. So first and foremost, we want to look at some scriptures about what Jesus did for us. The trade, the trade-off. What he paid, what he accomplished. Hallelujah. Which we're going to start in Isaiah 53. Looking at a few verses there. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." So he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him." So the payment to buy our peace, the punishment, or whatever he took that weight, that job was given to him to bring us back into right standing with God, so we could come to God. You know, the curtain was torn, praise the Lord, so that we can all come, and we don't have to go to a priest anymore to come into God's presence. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because verse 6 says, "We like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all." So he put our guilt, everything on him. There's no, we all are agree and rejoicing in this. I just want to look again. You know, I believe his body was broken so we could be healed. He took the penalty so we could go free, right? Are we on the same page? So, it's good news. So now another script, Isaiah, we read that. Now I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll have a lot of scriptures, which is our foundation, the scriptures. We read the word so we can have faith. Because without, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, Corinthians 5:21. Some of these will just be a few verses, so you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. If you have a pen, you're welcome to write the reference down and look it up later. 5:21, 2 Corinthians says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So here again, here's the trade. Here's what he became so that we could become something else. That's pretty good news. That's better than winning the lottery there. Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So here again, praise the Lord. This is past tense. This is something that Jesus Christ accomplished, not with our helping him. This is something he did Because he loved us, and he did it for the joy that was set before him, I think it says. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let me read that again. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Thank you, Lord. I think there was maybe one other verse. Okay. I want to first look at the, I'm going to read all the verses that are in from Jesus' crucifixion on that talk about the cross. It is, there's none in Acts, I don't think so. But it, well, we'll just go there. We'll just go there and we'll see. It is about the cross of Christ. All the verses that you see from Pentecost on are talking about the cross of Christ. None of them are talking about the quote cross that Jesus told his followers to take up and bear. So we want to just look at them and see what is, you know, because we know the cross is the instrument of death. Is that true? We all agree. I mean, that's what, and so Jesus, when I think of this, he took that for me. And so let's just look at, where do I start? I'll just start right here. Oh, I better not start there. Let me start up here. We'll start over here. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, okay, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. So he did this, and it was his cross. It's nothing that we can help him or whatever by bearing our cross. He did this. He made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say whether things in earth or things in heaven. Philippians 2:8, I believe, is being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Okay. Ephesians 2. I'm going to turn to that. Ephesians 2. Start reading in verse 15. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Where these verses are read fairly regular here, so we know them, but then we'll still read them. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So both Jew and Gentile, if we're born of God, there is no wall. I don't care when I go to jail and there's color guys, it doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, there is no wall. It's torn down. And praise the Lord for that. Let me read it again. And that he hath reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay, Galatians 5. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Okay, here is the word cross again in this verse. Paul is saying that if he would mix circumcision into his gospel, then there would be no offense of the cross. This is kind of... I probably will come back to this. The cross that people will embrace and gladly carry, there's no offense. But the cross of Christ, there is an offense. Because we enter, it's totally faith and faith alone. There's no works. That's why there's an offense. If we work for something, like the people, the religious people that Paul had trouble with, that were resisting him, that were trying to sneak in to bring them into bondage, it says. They were wanting to mix a little bit of letter, a little bit of law in. And therefore, if Paul would have done that, the supernatural part of the Christian life would not have been working. It makes the grace of God of none effect. The Bible uses the word void or vain. And so that is why Paul was so staunch, and so he didn't give them time, not a second. I mean, you know, he smelled them out. He knew what they were after is to bring bondage in. So here, but what this verse is telling me that, yeah, there is a pureness that the enemy hates, and that is because that's where the power is, that's where the peace is, that's where the joy, that's where the abundant life is, the life of the seed of Abraham, you might say, us, we that are righteous by faith and faith alone. I say faith alone, I mean, praise the Lord for works. Fruit does follow the believer, but it's first faith. Amen. That's my hobby horse. Okay. I'll get off of it. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, this is his cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the throne of God. I'm sorry. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that no one could quite keep, he took it out of the way and nailed it to, not our cross, but his cross. Praise the Lord. He came and accomplished a work. He didn't need help, our help. That was in Colossians 2:14. In Corinthians, I'm going to turn to this. Corinthians, the first chapter. You might want to turn there too. There's more than one verse. There again, some of these things are so, so true or so that it's almost, you don't want to say it, or it might ouch. But anyway, here in Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 17, I'm going to start reading. And Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Here again is the work of the cross of Christ can be made of no effect, depending on how you believe or how you trust or how you walk. Yeah, I mean, it's made of none effect. That's sad. Okay, now there's other verses, and what I did is I looked up the word effect and void and vain, and all those. Even it talks about, you know, the promise of no effect. You know how Abraham was promised, you know, and then after he believed, then he received the promise. And we're going to get together. We're going to get to that. I'm running ahead of myself. But it's sad if we don't inherit the promise. You know, if it's of no effect. But anyway, here he's talking about, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And just in, what is the effect of that? Well, Paul says over here in Galatians, he says, God forbid, in Galatians 6:14, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you know, we've heard in the past, I've heard all wild things of what people said is their cross, you know, even as far as their wife was their cross. And maybe you've heard some things too. But Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. So here is the work that the cross is supposed to be doing. And Paul is very much, It's just there. And so when I am visiting with the people where I was raised and talking to them, I don't see them reaping the benefits of the cross of Christ. They have to establish their own laws and rules to govern and to keep the flesh man, the sin man, from just, you know, going and going. And so they have to have many letters, many laws, and they're not reaping the benefits of the supernatural work of the cross because they don't have faith in it. And they are trying to attain or trying to work, also, you know, help, finish it. Finish the work, I guess, that God has said is already done. Okay, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Because Paul is saying, look, because of him being crucified with Christ, now the things, you know what is in the world. The Bible says all that is in the world is lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is the world. And that's what makes the first man tick. That's what made us, that we're insecure, we're sinners, and so we seek for approval, for praise of men. I mean, it's status. That is the flesh man. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride of life, and lust of the flesh. That is what Paul is saying, is that he's no longer governed. That is, you know, he's crucified to it and the world to him. It just works that. And it did that in me. It really did. The Spirit baptizing me caused me to be so secure in him that the lusts of all the others, of the first man, the flesh man, are no longer governing. They're no longer tempting me because I'm dead to sin. And this is a miracle. This is, but if I don't access by faith and believe that, then, but I try to work for it or try to, then I put myself in a place where the grace of God is, how does it say? You're fallen from grace, or have you done this many things in vain, if yet in vain? We're going to get to that. Okay, I read that verse in Galatians 6:14. Oh, let me go to the Corinthians here where I was. Verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It's, you know, my side note says truth misunderstood. It is kind of crazy or foolish, you might think, to believe that my old man was crucified with Christ, you know, before he was crucified 2,000 years ago, and I'm just 40 years old, almost 50. How can I be crucified with him? Well, it is by faith, and that is how it's accessed, and that's what we need to stand and fight is the fight of faith. I believe the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but to them which are saved, it's the power of God. Here again, it's the miracle. It's the miracle power of salvation. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." I would wish that verse 18 is only talking about the ungodly that are not even professing Christ. But I'm afraid it might include some of the professing. I'm afraid so. Because there is a very, very much opposition. There is very much opposition against what I stand for, as far as that I am a new creation, old things passed away. Yes, a lot of people quote that, but then I was at a revival service here a couple weeks ago, and the guy quoted that verse for his first verse, but then he went through the rest of the service, and I felt like the rest of the service was taking away the foundation of that, and I really felt grieved. But anyway, where is the verse 20? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm only coming on down here a couple more verses. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now we would tend, I tend to think or believe that the Jews were the religious people. They were the Bible toters, or they had the Word of God. And it says they require a sign. And the Greeks, in my mind, I could be wrong, would be the unconverted people that are not even believing in Christ. they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. And it says, unto the Jews, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, see here again, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just stop right there. Amen. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and power. Galatians 6:12, back to that topic. Let me turn to that. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross. Here, this is why I'm reading this verse, because the word cross is here, and this is talking about the cross of Christ. So that's in Galatians 6, 6:12. I think there's some people that are enemies of the cross of Christ that are not, they're not against their own cross. I believe they gladly believe that they need to carry and bear a cross that are their own cross, but are not accepting, or they're actually enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ." So this is, Paul is acting like this is something that he said before. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping." So he's really grieved by this, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not embracing the finished work of the cross of Christ. I believe they are toting, or possibly, you know, adding to it. In other words, bearing their own cross. They want to add to it. They're not necessarily against their own cross, whatever that may be. And that we've heard, you know, I don't know what all you've heard that cross is. Let me, now the thing of faith accessing the real act, the work that the cross does. Let me just read in Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." It would kind of make, it makes void, or it nullifies the work of Christ. If you try to help God out, you are frustrating the grace of God. Then he says in verse 3, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" He's asking. We know it's through faith. It's not through works. Now, verse 3, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Question mark. So there's a temptation to go in the flesh to help God out or to finish something. You might say, even like, you know, Abraham and Hagar, they produced an Ishmael when they tried, Sarah thought, well, maybe this is the way God's going to work it. Look at verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if yet in vain? So basically, you come to Christ. Because you're Christ, you're rejected, you suffer persecution. And now you go back to working for something that is only attained through believing and righteous, faith righteousness. Now he's saying, have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet in vain? That sounds bad. You know what I mean? It's not good if the work of Christ, the work on the cross, is not benefiting me. It's not edifying. It's like I eat food and I don't get any nourishment from it. That would be bad, you know. And so this is it also talks about this in Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So the work of the cross, even the resurrection, not only the work of the cross, what that did, but the resurrection, it's not going to profit you anything. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Then he says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Effect. That's sad. And I'm preaching to you guys, but I'm loving my people where I come from, okay? I'm seeing them sincere, honest, you know, and I'm like, they're stumbling. I just see it stumbling. And I hope none of us stumble at, you know, this. But it is kind of natural. I don't think you have to be brought up, my upbringing, to not want to take a free gift. You go out. You just go out, take some $20 bills and go out to town and see how many $20 bills you can hand out without people wanting to do something for it. I've seen it done. I've done it a little bit. But people will go do something. If you think about paying, it'd be way overpaying it. They'll take it. But if it's a free gift, they want to work for it. They don't want to take a free gift. There's a pride there. So is that part of it? I don't know. But anyway, I don't want to live or be in a way to where you're, and then it says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. Okay? For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Remember back here it says, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? It says you've begun in the Spirit, and he's going to complete it. He does test us. He does see. Personally, I see that what he does in a young believer, just like he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He cut the enemy off. He cut Pharaoh. Pharaoh, right? He drowned him. Boom, you're gone. But then to let them bring him through the wilderness to see, will they have faith in him, or will they murmur, or will they complain? And as young believers, I see he brings us out. He's done the finished work. It's good. It's done deal. But it depends upon how we yield and have faith and trust and just trust him and have faith in him. If they would have believed, when they came to the camp with no water, and they would have said, hey, let's see what God's going to do. God said he's going to take us somewhere. Let's see what he's going to do. God would have stepped in. They would have passed from first grade to second. And then when they came by where there was bitter water, you know, they say, hey, God has said he's going to take us. He loves us. He's our heavenly Father. Let's just take him at his word. Boom, boom. No, but they murmured. So they never were able to enter that rest that God promised them. Is this not similar? very similar. Remember how the new is a lot of types and shadows of the old? Is this not true? Same thing. There's a small percentage, sad to say, that went in. Of the original, there's only two. And so, you know, I talked to my brother, and he's like, well, they're good people. They're whatever. But man, I wish I wouldn't see it so severe. I wish I wouldn't see it. I mean, they are stumbling, I believe. Romans says, and this is maybe not all of them, I may be in a blanket statement, but Romans says, you know, where's Romans? Oh, praise the Lord. This is very, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. So they believed. They heard the good news. They believed. And they have attained to the righteousness of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, he asked, because they sought it not by faith, but as it was by works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Ouch, that's Jesus. For it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. God has ordained this. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is so good news. And this is the life, this is the walk that brings you from sinking, like Peter sinking, versus walking on water. This is where the natural bows to the supernatural, is faith, righteousness, and faith alone. So, but their reality, the sad part is, we make our doctrine to fit our experience, then our experience never changes because it's not prompt. It's not faith based. And so. The longer they live in that life, the more sure they are that they do need a cross because they are plagued with sin and just on and on. I was talking to them. This is real for them. Where is the supernatural? Where is the good news? What can make you happy and shout because of the God's ability, the grace of God. Is God's ability in us. What we could never do on our own is now God working in us. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to read this. Romans 4:14 says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. There's that word void. And the promise made of no effect. There again, the promise, a promise is something that you don't have. I can promise you something and you don't have it. But in Abraham's thing, he believed it and then he received. If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. Hallelujah. But so I passed through it. But yes, we are not made perfect by the flesh. The Spirit does its work. And so I see that picture of the old and the new, and I see them doing the same thing. And then in Peter even it says that after we have been tested, let me just turn to it. This is not in my notes. This is going beyond. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. There's a foundation. There's a peace. There's a rest. Even as Abraham, after he had been, you know, tempted, whatever you might say, tested. You know, there was, we don't read too much of God continuing to test him with, because he had the ultimate, he brought the knife up to obey God, and then God said, okay, you know, you're good. And not in those words, but that's my words. So this is I think this verse would imply that it is God's heart to bring us into a rest, a freedom, that there's no more, there's no striving. We don't need to, well, strive to we, but the battle, the fight is for faith, I believe, to believe the word of God. Now, Galatians, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law of Christ is dead in vain. Ooh, ouch. Maybe I read that before. We don't want to frustrate the grace. So, is this, these are the verses. What do we do then when Jesus shared with, let me turn to it. This is a study I had done years ago. There's verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about bearing the cross. He tells his disciples to take up the cross daily and follow him. What do we do with these? Well, for one thing, the disciples at this point in time were not born of God. They were not made new creatures. Are we agree with that? Because it you know, Jesus had not suffered and died and resurrected. So they were still really, you look through the Gospels, they were still struggling with their self-ambition. They didn't want to suffer for Jesus. They wanted to command fire down from, you know. It really gives you a picture. Yes, God gave them authority to heal and to do that. But they were not the same people they were after Pentecost. And even there's verses that say that Peter, when thou art converted, you know, just before that Jesus was crucified, Jesus talked to Peter and said, when thou art converted. So I believe that's why you don't see the push or the apostles pushing that everybody has, you have to take up your cross, because it would take away from the work of the cross of Christ if, and you don't see it, but yet it was big before. And so I think that is largely, that's my humble feelings on it. You know, right here, up here in my old notes, for this is years and years and years ago, I said, not my will but thine. That's at that time, years ago, when I looked at this, because even then the work of Christ was done in my life, and I was like, how do you bring the two together as far as the From Pentecost on, it's all about the cross of Christ. There's no about your own cross. Boom, boom, boom. And then we have all of Jesus' words to his disciples that are saying, "You take up your cross. Take up your cross." So, and I looked at, well, when Jesus came and faced the cross, what did he say? He said, "Not my will, but thy will." So he was surrendering his will. Do we still have a will that is opposite of maybe what God wants to do? Maybe sometimes you want to do something that might not be God's will. So if that can be, if you want to have that your cross, I think that can be scriptural, maybe. I for me anyway. But as far as me carrying or bearing a cross so that I don't sin or that I don't lust or whatever, no, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't see that. It's just, you know. That's just the way I see the scripture. Now, if you remember the story where Peter had made this good statement, thou art the Christ, you know. And then is it just a verse or two later where Jesus rebukes him and says, because Jesus tells him right away, that we should turn there. Does anybody know where that's at? Is that in Mark 10? Let me see what that is. It's, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, yeah. Mark. Because often I like to read what instigated, what brought on this topic when Jesus would say, bring that up, to take every, you have to take up your cross. What motivated him to bring that up? And then I saw a pattern. It was, and let's just look at it. I should have made sure. 10, 21. Okay, in verses 10, 21, Mark, that is where there was a rich young ruler that had kept all the commandments, remember? And Jesus said, he says, verse 21 says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad in that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Mark 8:34. Let me see what that one is. Okay, in Mark 8:34, in 31, Jesus says, and he began to teach them, and the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of elders. This is Jesus telling them. And the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Okay? So Jesus told them about his sufferings, him being killed. And he spake the saying openly. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Ouch. Not a good thing. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things which be of man. And when he had called his people unto him, he and disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now Peter there was thinking of a earthly kingdom, of a, you know, whatever. He was he didn't have the mind of Christ. He was not it was not God's will. Now verse 35 says, for whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And I think the other Gospels record this same story. But yeah, we want to do the will of God. Amen. We that are saved, because it's our reasonable service to give everything back to him, because we owe it him, and we've been forgiven much, so we love much, and that's what is motivating our living for him. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we could be in your word. I just pray that you would take and edify, build up, Lord. I pray that you would just have your way in our life, Lord, that we would grow in grace, Lord, because of faith. We know that faith accesses the grace of God, and help us to be yielding and obedient, Lord, to what you want us to do, Lord. And just pray that you would, again, Lord, take away or help them forget anything that's not of you, but pray that you would water and feed that which is of you, and that we might be edified and build up. Thank you, Jesus. Just have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.